The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
When Riley asked for a theme, my initial suggestion, because I always like to have a theme that makes people stop and think, what's that about, to make them wonder? And so I said to Riley, what about what I hate about Christmas? Wasn't a great reaction from Rolly, and I can understand why that would be. And so we came up with Christmas Why. But the reason I originally had that thought of what I hate about Christmas came from an incident I had a couple of years ago where I was doing my Christmas shopping. And I was standing in the line at Target waiting to get out. And there were a couple of girls behind me. When I say girls, probably in their sort of early 20s. And they were talking to each other about Christmas. And then one of them said to the other, I hate Christmas. I hate buying presents for people. It's so stressful. I hate wasting all that money. I like getting the gifts, but I don't like buying them. And I thought, how sad. How shallow. What is Christmas coming to where people hate it? Where you hate giving presents? We'll come back to that girl later on. Interestingly, our Bishop David Altus, in the last little edition he sends out to pastors, picked up that very thought. The idea of how pressured we get at Christmas, how stressful it is. It's a busy time of the year anyway, and you've got all the Christmas parties you have to go to, people you haven't seen all year suddenly have to go there, you have to write letters to them. Although that seems to be going these days. Interestingly, in our house, my wife is the one that wants to keep in touch with everyone. So people that we haven't seen for 50 years, we're still writing letters to them. Or should I say, I am. Because although she wants to stay in touch, I'm the one that has to write and post the letters. Not that I'm complaining about that. And the preparation for Christmas, the big event that it is, all the shopping and the cooking and the getting the house ready. No wonder that some people perhaps don't like the fuss that goes on with Christmas. So what's it about? Why Christmas? I mean, if you're in society and not in the church, there's a number of reasons for Christmas. It's about showing peace to each other. That's what Christmas is about. It's about family. It's all about getting together as a family and family time. It's a season for giving, for thinking of other people. But what about if you're not in society? What about us? What's Christmas really about? Why do we have Christmas? Why is it such a big event in our calendar? What is it really all about? And you all know the answer. Surely all of us know what the Christmas story is really all about. I'm hoping that this is going to work. We'll wait and see. Yes. Christmas IQ quiz. Pastor Rolly told me that some of you he has done this to, so you'll know all the answers. But let's see how much you really know about Christmas. Don't answer these just yet. Think about them. You can chat quickly with the person next to you. I'm going to flick through them. How did Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem? By donkey? They walked? By Volkswagen? Joseph walked and Mary rode a donkey. By camel? Who knows? Number two. What did the innkeeper tell Mary and Joseph? Come back after the Christmas rush? I have a stable you can use. There's no room in the inn. Or both of those. There's no room in the inn, but I have a stable you can use. Or none of the above. Which animals, the Bible say, were present at Jesus' birth? Cows, sheep, goats? Cows, donkeys, sheep? Sheep and goats only? A mixture of farmyard animals? Lions, tigers, elephants? Or none of those mentioned? Who saw the star in the east? Mary and Joseph? The shepherds? Three kings? The shepherds and the three kings? or none of the above? How many wise men came to Jesus? And the wise men found Jesus in a manger, in a stable, in a house, in an inn, or in a good mood. And the baby Jesus cried just like other babies when the doctor slapped him, when the little drummer boy played his drum, or he never cried. Let's have a look and see how you went with them. How did Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem? On a donkey? Oh, we're going to have a problem. All right. Yeah, no, I think it's got stuck. All right. I had it all beautifully set up, so a little thing came on and told you what happened. No, not going to work. Oh, that's what's happened. Oh, Sooty's done that. Oh, we'll go back again, sorry. Yeah, how did Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem? Who knows? The Bible doesn't record it. The traditional thing is Joseph walking and Mary on the donkey. Why? Because Mary was pregnant. But actually, how pregnant was she? Well, you're pregnant, you're not pregnant, are you? But how far along was she? We don't know. The story has it that she got there and gave birth straight away. Not necessarily so. We know Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem for a long time. How do we know that? When Herod was going to kill the babies, all babies under two. So possibly Mary and Joseph were there for over 2 years. Mary may have been 3 months pregnant when she first got to Bethlehem. We don't know. It's actually unlikely that Mary was on a donkey, because donkeys could only be afforded by the very rich. And the thing we know about Mary and Joseph is that they were common tradespeople. So they probably weren't on a donkey. What did the innkeeper tell Mary and Joseph? None of the above. I hate to tell you, the innkeeper doesn't even get a mention in the Bible. He is not even mentioned. It's just said there was no room for them to go. But we have this whole story about the innkeeper and what he does and everything. The animals? No animals are mentioned. And in fact, it would probably be true that the stable was empty, because Jesus wasn't born at this time of year, was he? Because this time of year in the Middle East is freezing. So the shepherds would not have been outside watching their sheep. The sheep would have been inside this time of year so they wouldn't be frozen. So there probably weren't any animals in the stable. But we don't know, we're not told. Who saw the star in the east? None of those people. None of those people. The people, the three wise men we call, the Magi, they weren't kings. Although we have the carol, don't we? We three kings of Orient are. They weren't kings, they were Magi. Maybe astrologers. They were searching the stars. But none of those people actually saw the star. The Magi did. How many wise men came to Jesus? We don't know. Why do we say three? There's three gifts, so they sort of make the connection. But it doesn't mean there was only three. Why those three gifts? Does anyone know what those three gifts represent? They were traditionally the three gifts that were given to kings when they were born. And the significance, particularly of the myrrh, is quite significant, because myrrh is a burial spice. So is that already a symbol of what Jesus was going to do and what the message is really about? The wise men found Jesus in a house. The wise men probably came to Jesus much later than when the shepherds were there. All the nativity scenes, you see the shepherds and the wise men, that wouldn't have happened. because the shepherds saw Jesus in the manger, the wise men saw him in a house after Mary and Joseph had moved out of the stable. And again, it could have been up to 2 years later. And the baby Jesus Christ, well, this is not, we're not told this, except we are told that Jesus was human in every regard. And if any of you have had a baby that never cried, put your hands up. Babies cry, it's not a sinful thing, it's the way babies communicate. So Jesus cried, not like the carol tells us, he never cried, but he cried just like ordinary babies did, because he was an ordinary human being. One of the classic things about the Christmas story is setting up the humanity of Jesus, that we can know and understand him because he is just like us. I got that, is that the quiz you used? Yeah, I got that quiz from a pastor I worked with many years ago. I think he might have pinched it from somewhere as well. There's 26 questions, I've used it a few times, and I have ruined people's Christmas every time I've used it. What are you saying? All these things are wrong? Well, they're not necessarily right. Doesn't mean they're wrong, but they're not necessarily right. Why do we do it? Because it adds to the story. It's obvious we're going to try and add things in to make the story, I guess, fuller and richer. But do we, in doing that, do we actually take away from what the real message of Christmas really is? Do we sentimentalise the Christmas story? Because as kids, that's what we loved. And we do Christmas for kids, don't we? But are we actually focusing on this lovely family and the glorious birth? When you stop and think about it, the message of Christmas is not that at all. The message of Christmas is hard. Here is a family that had to uproot and go while Mum was pregnant and ended up having their baby in a stable. It is a really difficult story, and maybe we try and sugarcoat it a little bit as well. But for us as Christians, I think it is important that we get why of Christmas right. Because Christmas is about the gift of Jesus Christ. It's about a God who became one of us. Stop and think about that. A God who became one of us. Not a God who wanted to be mighty and great and powerful, but a God who loved us so much that he wanted to make himself weak and vulnerable. And there is nothing more vulnerable than a newborn baby. I love this from Max Lucado. You may have seen it before. I reckon it's sensational. God as a fetus. God was given eyebrows, elbows, 2 kidneys and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. Angels watched as Mary changed God's nappy. The universe watched with wonder as the Almighty learned how to walk. Jesus may have had pimples. Perhaps a girl down the street had a crush on him, or vice versa. It could be that his knees were bony. That's the message of Christmas, that God became one of us just like us. Not a supersized super version of us, but just like us. So God understands us and what we are going through. A God who was willing to go to the cross to die for us, to give us that gift of eternal life. Christmas is about God coming to us, but in the Christmas story there is always the shadow of the cross behind it, because that's why God came to us in Jesus Christ, to win us our salvation, to give us back that fellowship with him. Remember the girl on the cross? The girl in the shop. I said I'd come back to her. You see, the girl actually had it right. Because Christmas isn't about giving. Christmas is about receiving. receiving that wonderful gift that God has given us, that gift of Jesus Christ. And sure, that gift is a gift that keeps on giving, and God asks us to pass that on to other people so that all may receive that same gift. But sometimes it's vital that we just stop and appreciate and celebrate and just marvel at the goodness of God. That we just simply receive, because that's what grace is. That's where we start, receiving what God has given us. Then we can go out and do something with it. It's important that we stop sometimes and give thanks to God and give thanks to Him for the grace that He has shown us. Do you know this carol? God Rest You. When I first sang it, it was God Rest Ye, Merry Gentlemen. And it was only when I was about probably 25 that I actually started singing it right. You may have known this, but I used to sing it as God Rest You, You Merry Gentlemen. God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen. I've had this picture of all these gentlemen out there quite happy. It was nice that God wanted them merry people to rest. Until I discovered the comma. God Rest You, Merry. So may you be happy, glad, or even the idea of not having a care in the world. That's what Mary is. So that's what that carol is saying, that you will be rested in God, that you'll receive the happiness, the gladness, and the lack of care that God gives you. So this Christmas, as you get joy out of giving those presents to your kids and seeing the joy they get in opening them up, please take a moment, or perhaps more than a moment, to simply sit and reflect on the love and the grace and the blessing that God has given you in Jesus Christ. May your Christmas be a blessed one.